your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this final hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know, I just want to say to all of our listeners out there, thank you. Thank you for allowing us into your homes. Thank you for allowing us into your cars. Thank you for allowing us to do what we do. If you're listening to this, audio only, obviously, you're hearing me stammer and stutter and kind of talk haltingly. And that's because I'm moved. I'm so moved. I went through, I personally read every single letter, every post-it note. I mean, we get notes sent to us here through postal mail, post-it notes. It's an amazing thing to read. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who tunes in. Thank you to everyone who takes the time to write something. Whether it could even be, well, gee whiz, Doug, you know, you ought to take speech lessons. That's okay. Yeah, I get that, and I probably should. To, hey, why don't you have this guest on? Or have you thought of doing it? Have you thought of doing this? Or even the notes of, boy, you've really help me with my walk, my faith walk. Thank you to everyone who's listened. Thank you to everyone who's been a part of our broadcast from day one. And we're going to be here until the bitter end. That's our commitment to you. And it could be a bitter end, or it could be a sweet end, but there's going to be a lot of things happening in between, I have a feeling. You know, today, there's so much news today, and Dr. Lake, we just finished with 2 hours with Dr. Lake, and, you know, the cadence necessary. If you tuned into that broadcast, isn't it interesting how, I mean, you've got to listen closely, carefully, and you've got to really understand, because the IQ of our show was raised about 30 points by having him on. And I just want to say thank you to Dr. Lake for that. And the Shinar Directive, my goodness. A lot of what's taking place right now, and many people don't see this. Christians, including Christians, and especially Christians, are not seeing this Babylonian system, this architecture that was developed and originated on the plains of Shinar at Babylon. That's why I really like his book, The Shinar Directive. And I was so honored when he asked me to write the foreword for the Sharif Imperative. Because, you know, it's kind of one of those things, I'm not worthy. I'm really not. But from an investigative standpoint, Dr. Lake really proves the point. portion of tonight's broadcast, as I mentioned earlier, brought to you by Whole Tones Live. Folks, have you gone to Whole Tones Live yet? Have you done it yet? WholeTonesLive.com. Remember that website, WholeTonesLive.com. Don't just remember it. Go there after the show and download the free samples. But don't stop there. Read the evolution of the music. Read the account of Michael Terrell, who created, well, put together this music. It's an inspiring story. The product, WholeTonesLive.com. The music from WholeTonesLive.com, inspired by King David, the music frequencies in the Bible. You know, today, as our lives get cluttered with all of this gunk, Hillary, Trump, Sanders, Benghazi, emails, racial tension, riots, we need mental focus clarity. We need inspiration. We need all the help we can get. Really, we do. That's why we here at the Hagman Studios have taken advantage of WholeTonesLive.com. We play it throughout the studio, throughout the offices. Sometimes I'll crank up the motivational things, frequencies to get Joe off his butt or to get Eric focused, right? Now, Eric doesn't have that problem, but isn't it great, Joe?
It doesn't take much to in daily life you have, your normal stressors of everyday life, but then you have situations where things pop up and can ruin your day or ruin your week and get you all mentally flustered.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so easy to, the human element, the human aspect, it's so easy to fall into that trap. Folks, this is the antidote. We've got the antidote, or at least reach into our bag, our medical bag. Not really a medical bag, but a bag of remedies. And make WholeTonesLive.com, that's WholeTonesLive.com, a part of your life. You will thank us later. And for Hagman listeners, if you go to WholeTonesLive.com, you'll see a coupon there. Well, yeah, you'll see it. Take advantage of it today. It will revolutionize your life. It'll make a big difference. That's WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. That's WHOLE TonesLive.com. Now, just to set the stage for the remainder of our program, folks, I'm going to make a couple of statements here. And you can take this to the bank. I believe. This is my, based on research, investigation, interviews. And I talked to somebody today that I haven't spoken to in a while. And that's my source, formerly with the Department of Homeland Security. And I haven't even told Joe this yet. Or Eric. Or anybody. And how this communication came about, I won't even get into. But I was forced to actually leave the office and leave, I'll just go right to the meat of it. According to this source formerly from the Department of Homeland Security, who still has contacts within that department at high levels, the conventions will be flashpoints. They expect death. Did you hear what I said? Expect death. No, I'm not talking
death from riots and unrest.
Right, right. What is taking place here, according to my source, is very simple. everything that he had said early on back in 2010 and everything that was taking place, that got delayed. And it got delayed for a reason. And please hear me when I tell you why. Because the plans that for nonviolent plans to advance the globalist agenda, the agenda of the communist slash Luciferians here in this country, was going exceedingly well. They didn't need to pull out that Trump card, so to speak, of violence, of civil rights. They thought the, as it was explained to me, with the election, the selection slash election of Obama, they believed, the powers believed that at that time, because of the lack of bona fides, because of the racial tension, even in 2008, combined with the economic problems in 2008, the near martial law scenario of 2008, they thought they had this, they were going to pull the pin and create the civil unrest, be able to really create that civil unrest. They pulled back on that. Why? Because they were not, well, they were exceedingly far advanced by using nonviolent means, nonviolent tactics. They got more accomplished in the last 6 years through nonviolence, they realized, basically, that the divide, they could nurture that divide between classes and between races without violence. They could deepen that, and they did deepen that. So now, today, when they pull the pin on the violence Trump card, it's going to be much worse, by orders of magnitude worse than it would have been 6 years ago, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 4 years ago. Do you see what I'm saying here? Basically, they said, hold off a minute, because we can socially engineer the masses a little bit greater, push the masses into a much deeper and much drier tinder. So right now, today, the tinder on which we all stand is much more flammable, combustible, that is, in instead of being up to our ankles or our knees in this timber, now we are up to our hips and in some case our shoulders in this timber. I asked whether the elections would be held, and if he thought the elections would be held, you know, without a problem, and he said, why not? I mean, my source did not have any information about, you know, the postponing elections. The reason, of course, is because everyone within his circle of information is 100% convinced that Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton will occupy the White House in 2017. I asked how he could be so certain, given the fact that Trump has such a large contingency of followers and such. And of course, the answer is obvious. It doesn't matter. It's all rigged anyway, to an extent. But you see, the more obvious the gaming of the population, the more blowback is to be expected. They want a civil war. This is exactly what the power brokers want, a weakened populace. This is why they're seeding, S-E-E-D-I-N-G, seeding the appearances of Trump. And even if you've been watching, of Sanders, they've been using pawns on both ends to cultivate violence. So when the real violence breaks out, it won't be, I mean, it'll be a natural, it'll be ascribed to a natural evolution of social behavior, and one that has to be met with a degree of force that we haven't seen, you know, in at least not in our lifetimes, at least not in modern times. Think of Lincoln. Now, people may believe that Lincoln was a great president. There's a cult of Lincoln. If you, anyone who has watched the History Channel understands, or attended or followed university teachings, understands that there's a cult of Lincoln. Lincoln was the greatest. The man, you know, freed the slaves. There are so many myths around Lincoln. It is the myths surrounding Lincoln which can be most closely compared to what's going on today. Now, you might, that might be a little bit more difficult for people to understand. But Lincoln, don't forget, he suspended habeas corpus during his tenure. He jailed opposing viewpoints on newspapers and shut down newspapers. He did more to tank the Constitution than any other president in history. That's the guy who is idolized by a memorial in Washington, D.C. Right now, today, and I'm going to turn this over to Joe, right now, today, and the California primary was today, chicanery is the word of the day. You're going to see Hillary Clinton walk away with the necessary votes as Trump did. Do you think that was, do you think that was fair? Well, I don't know. Have we been gamed? Absolutely. But it doesn't matter except to the extent that we will now see, once the parties have been identified, presumptively, up through the conventions, we're going to see this increase of events, this acceleration of events that will exacerbate the differences, and violence will be the nature of the day. Subsequent to the convention, during and then after the conventions, it will be a totally different ballgame. That's the plan. Freedom of speech, even aspects of the Second Amendment, all of this will be, and I can say this with a degree of authority, according to my source, will be casualties of what's going to happen in the next several weeks. So what I'm saying to you is this. The landscape of the first, or the landscape of programs like this, the landscape of what we're going to be allowed to say is going to be altered out of necessity, we will be told, to quell the violence that is taking place, to save the lives, to save lives, because lives will have been lost to violence. But the violence, of course, has been orchestrated not at the lowest levels, but at the highest levels. And those architects of the evil, the architects of the violence, are not merely the foot soldiers, or not the foot soldiers at all, I'm sorry, but members of the globalist parties, or the globalists, I should say, not just on the progressive left, but on the right as well. You would be surprised, perhaps, to know that the people behind what we're seeing unfold, and what we will see unfold, are, identify themselves as conservatives, Republicans, just as much as the progressives. Now, that hurts, maybe. Might, oh, come on, you're just full of it. No. No, this is all part of the game. It may not be as overt on the right as it is on the left, but it's there. Lastly, you will see, according to my source, you will see not just blood on the streets, but the blowback by or the consequences of what's taking place. You're going to see an oppression. Well, as it was explained to me, I'll just say the words. The average person will get caught in the crossfire and will be rendered compliant because of the level of fear that will embrace them. You heard Dr. Lay, well, it's going to be a changed world. It's going to be a changed environment here in the next several months.
And we're seeing,
go ahead.
We're seeing it play out. You know, from the San Jose mayor, the latest there is San Jose welcomes illegal immigrants, but not Trump supporters. We have also, I've seen many YouTube videos and news clips of anti-Trump supporters, protesters, of Mexican or Latino descent that are not citizens in this country, who say that they hate Donald Trump because they were told so. We have the media going after Trump and his supporters for the violence that is caused by the George Soros and Clinton team's payment of protesters to be there and disrupt.
Yes.
And now the latest are controversial comments that have been misconstrued that Trump has made about a judge who has a Mexican heritage but is a member of the La Raza gang.
Yes.
He is being called racist.
Yeah, pay attention.
He is being, in this article on Fox News, says that the Donald Trump said late Tuesday that his controversial comments about a federal judge's Mexican heritage have been misconstrued. He's defending his remarks in his most extensive statement on to date on the matter in the face of growing bipartisan backlash. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee, in his apparent bid to move past the controversy, issued a 700-word statement shortly before the polls closed on Tuesday. Trump said he did not intend to comment further, but used the statement to elaborate on his initial claim that the federal judge's Mexican heritage presented a conflict of interest for him in a Trump University litigation. And it goes deeper than that. Apparently, this judge is a member of La Raza. CNN had come out and said that there were actually two La Raza gangs, different from one another.
Right.
And his remarks were not about race initially. It was about the connections and affiliations of the judge and his ability to be involved in a case without having his own personal bias and opinions become a part of it. Now, the media has turned this into, they've went on attack mode, along with celebrities, along with pundits on both sides.
But by the way,
Donald Trump is horrible for his comments,
right.
His racist comments, when he was pointing out a fact.
That's right.
And he said, "It's unfortunate that my comments have been misconstrued as a categorical attack against people of Mexican heritage. I am friends with and employ thousands of people of Mexican and Hispanic descent. The American justice system relies on fair and impartial judges. All judges should be held to that standard. I do not feel that one heritage makes them incapable of being impartial, but based on the rulings that I've received in the Trump University civil case, I feel justified in questioning whether I am receiving a fair trial." Now, Hillary Clinton has used the Trump University news there was one employer of Trump University who came out and spoke out against Trump and his practices. But did you know that the Clintons also have a university?
What is that? The crime crime university
the perfect crime. No, but really, it's I mean, folks who are paying attention can see it when they're not even trying to pay attention to what's going on. That when Trump goes to speak somewhere and his supporters are there to hear him, and paid protesters from the other side come in and start violence, it's blamed on Trump.
Yes. And that by the way,
it's a reoccurring thing.
That people must understand, please understand, what is taking place here. When you've got a candidate or any speaker who goes to a city to speak, whether it's at a university or any public venue, violence erupts merely because, Joe, of his or her presence, whether it's Donald Trump or Sanders or whoever it might be, and the leaders of that city say, it's because, yeah, you're not welcome here because you bring with you this violence, when in fact the violence is not inherent or is not created by or associated with the speaker.
Right.
It is.
If there were no paid protesters, right, there would be no violence. There Correct. Would be no issues. And Jerome Corsi, he's going to be on with us next Monday in the final hour.
Yeah.
But he has a great piece up on WorldNet Daily. Judge and law firm bringing Trump University case, both tied to La Raza.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, Joe. I mean,
the federal judge presiding over the Trump University class action lawsuit is a member of the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association, a group that, while not a branch of the National Council of La Raza, has ties to the controversial organization or gang, which translates literally into the race. That's right. What La Raza right. means. U.S. District Judge.
The race. But, yeah, and please understand that. Simply translated,
La Raza equals the race.
The race.
Yep. Judge Gonzalo Curiel, who has been criticized by Donald Trump as a hater appointed by President Obama, who should be rescued from the case, listed his membership in the La Raza Lawyers of San Diego, or the Race Lawyers of San Diego, on a judicial questionnaire he filled out when he was selected to be a federal judge. He was named in a brochure as a member of the selection committee for organization's 2014 annual scholarship fund and dinner gala. Meanwhile, the San Diego-based law firm representing the plaintiffs in the Trump University case, Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd, was listed as a sponsor of the event. WorldNet Daily reported the San Diego firm paid $675,000 to the Clinton for speeches. And the firm's founder is a wealthy San Diego lawyer who served a 2-year sentence in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to mobilize plaintiffs for class action lawsuits.
You know,
of course, he goes on to detail
just
histories
so you know,
of the judge, of the organization, of their endorsements, of the...
You're talking about Judge Curiel, right?
And the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association, who and the law firm... The law firm of
right,
Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd,
correct,
and their sponsorship of the La Raza Lawyers Association organization,
right. And so understand. Okay, so
and go to worldnetdaily.com, yeah, folks, WND.com, and read Jerome Corsi's article because he does a really good job of breaking down all the ties, all the history of money sharing, donations to and from the La Raza Association to Clinton Foundation, from scholarships from the Clinton Foundation to the law firm. It's an in-depth report, and I would urge everybody to read it to understand the truth of the matter of why Donald Trump is saying what he is saying about the federal judge.
You know, what happened in San Jose, there's suspects. I don't know how many people have seen this, but KTVU News is reporting on the arrest of 4 people related to the San Jose riots. The La Raza thugs that terrorized others at that Trump Trump supporters. And if you watch the videos and the footage from KTVU, you'd have seen this. But the names, Ahmed Abdurrahman, 19 years old, a Santa Clara resident, booked on a felony charge of assault with a deadly weapon. Robert Trillo, 18, San Jose resident, booked on a felony assault charge with a deadly weapon. Antonio Fernandez, 19, same thing. Another, Michael Kedagorski, I believe his name is, 19. Booked on a misdemeanor charge of refusal to disperse. There's four people. Now, the pressure by the residents has been so great that people with any information have been asked to contact the San Jose Police Department's assault unit to turn in the names of other offenders. But there's only four, and they're tied to La Raza. I just gave you their names. If you look at La Raza in various places, they are... It's a corporation, 501c3, that's so involved, at least in my view. Now, I'm prefacing this with, in my view, my opinion, they're involved in illegal political activity, and their offshoots. To me, I would compare La Raza with CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. Again, this is my personal view, where CARE's got a lot of offshoots. And CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, of course, the unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation case. Well, La Raza, to me, is it's up to its eyeballs in this illegal activity as well. And you've got Hispanic nursing homes. You've got other entities that go after all sorts of welfare-type... what do you call that? Graft. And... They're parasitic in nature.
And listen to this. From Corsi's article, he cites David Horowitz. And what David Horowitz points out on his website, Discover the Networks, that La Raza, Spanish for the race, also has roots in the early 1960s with a United Front organization, the National Organization for Mexican Americans, NOMAS. The group initially was funded by the Ford Foundation, and subsequently by George Soros Open Society Institute and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. In 1968, the Southwest Council of La Raza was organized with Ford Foundation funding. In 1972, the group changed its name to the Council, National Council of La Raza, and opened an office in Washington, D.C. This group also has ties to the Council on Foreign Relations, and as I said earlier, the Clintons. And the Clinton Foundation.
You know, the Clinton Foundation is... We could do an entire show on the Clinton Foundation because of the way it's set up. And you'll find, I believe, that the investigative results would show that the Clinton Foundation is involved, engaged in some interesting white-collar... fraudulent activity. Obviously, that's a pretty all-encompassing statement. But when you look at the way it's the way it's collecting money and the way the money is dispersed and all of the octopus, the arms of the octopus coming out of the Clinton Foundation as well as into it, and those involved as well in that foundation, folks, we've only seen just a small little glimpse of what this is all about. It's a funding mechanism for the globalist agenda. It's a funding mechanism. Before we go any further, I just want to... somebody had sent me a flash message really quick here. And thank you. I think it was J.D. might have mentioned this. We had somebody in... We have an interactive chat attached to our YouTube channel. Somebody had made a reference... let me see if I got this right. Describing... the political spectrum, meaning, for example, on the right, the way on the right would be the Nazis, National Socialist, Nazi Party. And on the left, it's a communist, okay? The old political paradigm, you know what I'm talking about? You've got on the left to center politically, you've got the the communists, you've got the progressives, the socialists, or whatever you want to call it, that left. And then if you go too far to the right in people's minds now, you've got the Nazis. And oftentimes, Joe, people associate the far right fringe as equate that with Nazis, right?
But absolutely, that's a big misconception.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the Bernie Sanders. Nazi is the National Socialist Party.
Right.
And, you know, you have Bernie Sanders openly running as a socialist. You have the fascist element of the Nazis also, which Nazi Germany was unique in that it was not only a socialist system, it was much more fascist than socialist. But they ran under the banner of socialism initially to gain the constituents and the support of the public.
Yeah,
and once they got that support, they took over everything under the government control, which is fascism.
There it is. And fascism is merely the merging, illegal, illicit merging of government or the state and private interests.
Right, right. It's like government motors. Which we have in America today.
Yeah, exactly. So please, folks, I just want to clarify that. Don't make that mistake. Don't fall into that paradigm, that mental, incorrect mental processing where you say, okay, way to the right, you've got this Nazi fascism stuff. No, it doesn't work that way. It's actually more closely related to communism, Socialism is communism light, if you will. So Sanders is actually less of a threat to the republic than Hillary Rodham Clinton would be, potentially, in office. So just to be clear, you've got Hillary Clinton, who is by far worse, a communist in colors, than Sanders, who's a socialist. But
yeah,
both
after World War II,
crazy.
They weren't hunting for socialists; they were hunting for the Reds, CIA, the U.S. government. They weren't on socialist hunts; they were on communist hunts, if you remember, because that was the big threat. Moving along here, if I can get my computer to unfreeze. Paul McGuire has a great article on his site. The Coming Cashless Society, Big Brother, and the Mark of the Beast. A cashless society promises a world of limitation, control, and surveillance. Sweden, the first nation in the world to embrace a cashless society, where according to the central bank, cash transactions make up only 2% of the value of all payments. This from last year. Sweden economists believe that by 2020, cash transactions will only amount to 0.5%. Promoters of a cashless society point out there are countless benefits, such as control, tracking, identification of criminals, along with the ability to block deposits, purchases, and withdrawals. 2014, Cass Sunstein, the regulatory czar, former head of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, promoted the idea of a cashless society that would reduce street crime. Sunstein believed there was a relationship between EBT, Electronic Benefit Transfer System, for welfare benefits, and a drop in crime.
Mm.
Although there is no proof in this theory of Sunstein's, it's true. In the spring of 2014, the Department of Justice came under fire for Operation Choke Point, which was designed to shut down payday lenders and other merchant activities that were labeled a high risk. Anyway, this article goes on to explain more of Sunstein's philosophy as a world elite and the world of elites trying to control the class of people under them as god kings, citing the philosopher Plato, through the use and mechanisms of a cashless society. Marxist ideology in a totalitarian nature, such as the belief that people should be prevented from being exposed to different belief systems on the internet, was another. This was a previous work of Cass Sunstein in the talking about censorship, but from an article, April 8th, 2016, How a Cashless Society Would Embolden Big Brother by Sarah Jong a bare list of bullet points point out the FDIC includes some of the following merchant categories associated with high-risk activities. And this is all part of what they want to stop under the cashless society by labeling them high-risk activities. Ammunition sales, dating services, get-rich products, government grants, lifetime memberships, pharmaceutical sales, pornography, pyramid-type schemes, surveillance equipment, travel clubs. One major bank shut down personal accounts of hundreds of adult entertainers, which caused them to lose access to medical treatment, food, and rent money. Sarah goes on to write, a cashless society promises a world of limitation, control, and surveillance, which the poorest Americans already have in abundance. Through EBT and cashless society,
there you go.
Targets the most vulnerable people in our society. And it goes on from here to quote the book of Revelation, which deals with the mark of the beast prophecy, which some predict can be a kind of microchip implant with a computer brain interface. And this is where Paul's article gets really good. I don't want to spoil the whole thing on air, but there is...
That's a great article.
Go to paulmcguire.us, and he does talk about this in his book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, which is still available for pre-order, and I think comes out here in the next few weeks. But the bottom line of this article is, he says this in closing, already a host of secular writers are warning the Orwellian control that is coming through a cashless society.
And it's coming, people. It is coming, and we need to understand that. I was talking with a gentleman that I asked to perform a service here for us today, and he said, you know, more and more people are no one has cash. No one is using cash. Everyone either is putting it on a credit card, or using debit cards. He said, I can't remember the last time somebody paid with either cash or even a check.
Well, you know, when I buy my illegal guns, people usually don't take cards.
And that's going to be the argument for a cashless society.
I do use cash, and... no, I'm kidding.
Well, yeah, you should see his arsenal. Prepare for the door kicking in 5, 4.
I got a BB gun and 7 BBs.
I got an email here from Jeff S., who said, okay, Doug, you've officially confused me with your attempt to define the Nazi Party as being a left-wing or a progressive movement. Just very quickly, I'm sorry, Jeff. Let me just do this. Okay. The Nazi Party, you got to understand that the atheistic, liberal, Luciferian media is responsible for the portrayal, and I'm going to try to get this really quick, of the Nazis as this radical fringe right-wing movement.
But right.
Okay?
And then say, take the Democratic Party before Nazis in World War II. That was the party of slavery.
Yes.
That was, I mean, yes. Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
Yes.
But Democrats have been behind, it's a stepping stone.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned it, though. You mentioned it, you kind of keyed right in on it. The Nazis are labeled, or were labeled, as being far right on the...
They call them neo-Nazis.
Right, before being fascist. Now, you have to understand, there's a difference between fascism and Nazism or socialism.
In a true conservative, fascism is the opposite of what any true conservative wants.
Exactly.
Especially what the Tea Party was all about. It was for limited government. Limited government control, limited government bureaucracy.
So just very quickly, a very quick history lesson here. When you were talking about, being far right on the political spectrum, as in even libertarian perhaps, or pro-capitalist, or at least in terms of economic theory, there's two primary economic theories, the Austrian economic theory and the Keynesian theory of economics, okay? Think about that, Keynesian and Austrian economic theories. So, being pro-capitalist, pro-Austrian economist, or small government, the Nazis were anything but that. They embraced the Keynesian, not the Austrian, economic model. And Hitler, in a speech on May 1, 1927, May Day, says we're all socialists. We are the enemies of today's capitalistic economic system for the exploitation of the economically weak with its unfair salaries. Doesn't this sound a little bit like Sanders? with its unfair salaries, with its unseemingly evaluation of human being according to wealth and property instead of responsibility and performance, we are determined to destroy the system under all conditions. That's Hitler, May Day, 1927, meaning that the progressives, the socialists, the those in charge, those on the left of the political spectrum, attempt to paint Nazism on the far right as a product of the fringe. It's not. No. There is absolutely nothing conservative or fringe right about being... there's nothing conservative pro-right about the... or right-wing about the Nazis. And most conservatives are only... most people don't really understand that differentiation. So the Nazis or National Socialists were... in a fiscal sense, very left-wing, in fact, socially left-wing, and you can go through, and I'm just looking at some notes here, but you get it, okay? The adaptation, the embracing of the Keynesian economic policies, the anti-free market capitalism, at least on the fiscal part of it, the pro-earth, the pro-earth lovers, pro-animal rights, not to say anything wrong about animal rights, but you've got to understand that's all part of this Gaia worship and occultish stuff going on here. So Jeff, I hope that, and pro-government control as well, the Nazis were. So I hope that explains it. I didn't murky the waters up too much. So I just want to throw that out there.
All right, I wanted to hit this while we were still around talking about Clinton here.
Yeah,
I saw this on Drudge today, and this just confused me. Poll: Hillary beats Trump in Mexico, 88% to 1. A new presidential poll taken in the world's top 25 nations show enormous support for Democrat Hillary Rodham Clinton, with the biggest gap between Republican Donald Trump in Mexico, where she leads 88% to 1. But you know where Trump leads, interestingly? Russia and China.
Jeez. Russia and China's...
Well, and there's been talk that it's been said that Putin has said, and I'm paraphrasing what I read as a quote, which could just be hearsay, that if Hillary Clinton's president, there would be war between Russia and the U.S. I don't know that to be true, that he said it. I just saw somebody claiming that he said it.
I don't know.
But I don't know why that would be... also, there appears to be collusion with AP and the announcement of Hillary winning the nomination before the delegate count and electoral vote in California. This from the Gateway Pundit: Hillary Clinton caught colluding with AP to announce delegate win before California primary. On Monday night, one night before the California primary election, the Associated Press announced Clinton had finally secured enough delegates to win the primary nomination.
So we are told. And, you know, what were RFK's...
And guess what?
Never mind.
They have screenshots of this. There's a graphic in the screenshots that the URL is Secret Win Version 2, created on June 4th, 2016, which was put up as the headline yesterday.
Interesting.
So the Associated Press reported Hillary gained enough superdelegates to give her 2383 to secure the nomination. But now there's evidence that this announcement, the night before the nation's largest primary, was planned days in advance. And it goes on to show the screen capture. And it says it was pre-planned days ago. The Democratic Party used to at least pay lip service to overturning Citizens United silence as they rally behind Wall Street funded Hillary. That from a tweet from Jill Stein. Other tweets show the graphic and said planned attack with AP graphic delivered tonight, created days ago, worked together to do this tonight. So very interesting.
Interesting. In the waning moments
because
of the program,
you know that Hillary was down 2 points in California in the polls, in the latest polls, before this announcement. Right.
Are irrelevant, apparently.
They are irrelevant.
Well,
they do have, I mean, it depends on how they're done.
Yeah,
most are irrelevant.
Yeah, but I guess, saying that tongue-in-cheek, of course, you know.
And then the the email scandal. I don't know if you saw the latest from the State Department. But they said it would take 75 years to go through all of Clinton's emails.
Yeah, I believe that. When are they in Braille? I mean, and no offense to the blind, please don't. What are they written backwards? I don't know. I mean, seriously, 75 years? Come on.
Yeah, and not only that, the State Department has defended not releasing Clinton's TPP emails until after the election.
That's okay. That, see, right there is that, there it is.
And then the other one, State Department grilled on 75-year wait time for RNC FOIA request. Oh, that's what that was, the FOIA request. Mark Toner, deputy spokesman for the State Department, was grilled by AP reporter Matt Lee during a press briefing Tuesday over the statement that it would take 75 years to release many emails from top aides from then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. After the Republican National Committee made a Freedom of Information Act request for the emails. The length of time came in a court filing made by attorneys for the State Department in response to the request. The RNC FOIA request. You guys say it's going to take 75 years to complete.
75 years. Right.
I mean, this is all just a little too much. And it's been officially announced that Hillary Clinton is the first woman nominee to become president in history.
Well, there you have it. In the closing moments of tonight's program, there you go. Thanks. I want to mention that Eric is actually going to be taking a couple of days off, and I find this very curious. He's going to be, he's not going to be here tomorrow. He's not going to come back until,
he's going to have a head
wound. He'll be gone from tomorrow until Tuesday, or he'll be back Tuesday. Sitting in the captain's Star Trek chair is Josh. Josh M. I'm not going to give his last name, but he's.
You got to show him how to chime in on the mic.
Yeah,
if he Josh willing to do so.
He's all right. He's yeah, he is a little more talkative than you, Eric. So, but here's what I find a little bit curious. You see, Eric's going to be gone from Wednesday to Monday, and I find this curious because Wednesday begins this year's Bilderberg conference in Dresden, Germany.
Ah.
All right. And it's going to last through Sunday and he needs time to get back. So the Bilderbergs are meeting now, well, starting tomorrow, and the hotel has been cleared of all non-Bilderberg guests. Well, it will be by 12 noon tomorrow. Exit and egress and ingress to the hotel will not be allowed, nor will any groups, protesters, or otherwise outside of the hotel or on the grounds, near the grounds, be allowed of more than 15 people. Reporters have been booted, blocked, and not allowed. In fact, German military the German military is reportedly providing some security for this event. And, of course, you know,
8 years ago in Chantilly, Virginia.
Yep.
Was the deciding factor of the 08 election.
Yes. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about that, taking your phone calls on Open Line Wednesday. Folks, we ask. This is a clarion call to everyone. Anyone who had called, the first time callers only now, tomorrow night, that tried to, you know, were on hold forever, never got on. It's your turn. Talk to us. So please, if you've called before, please don't call. And if we get one or two people, it's okay. It doesn't matter. But it's your turn to be heard. Those people who haven't been heard, been on hold forever, that never talked to us. It is first time caller night tomorrow night, open lines. And we're going to be talking about, as well, the Bilderberg meeting, the coverage of, the coverage about that. We're going to be talking about the political arena, the fact that Huffington Post has called for violence against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking more about the information I received from my source. We're going to be talking about the all of this and our plans to attend the DNC, RNC at least, and then, not the DNC.
This week we have Thursday, we have John Haller.
Thursday.
He will be our guest. And then Friday, Dr. Ted Breuer will be with us.
Oh, catching up on things, yes.
So John Haller Thursday, Ted Breuer Friday, and your phone calls, first-time callers only, tomorrow. as we cover the latest news and current events and some special issues in depth.
There you go.
More tomorrow.
Just want to say thank you again to everyone. Thank you, Global Star. Thank you,
Dr. Michael Lake.
Dr. Michael Lake.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.